It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. We're going to begin reading with the 9th verse, and that's where the study begins. We may even just back up and read from the first verse because it all comes together, and we're going to get to the place of the blessed are the peacemakers. And so while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us here at the church, 217-847-2717. I'd like to visit our website. It's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will work just fine. Now let's get to the study. We'd like to just spend all of our time in studying the precious Word. And so we'll begin reading here. Again, back up all the way to verse 1, and that way we can really understand the blessings that are here. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, "And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." So we have a wonderful study there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start the study. Father, we thank and praise you that we have the opportunity to be on the airways, that folks can hear your precious word. I just ask, Father, that they'll listen so carefully because, Father, it's your word. And your Son, the Lord Jesus, created all the world, spoke it all into existence, and then came and saved us and died on the cross that we can live, and then offered that salvation as a free gift, just opened it up, and we need just to accept that free gift. And that's the thing, Father, we know that so many miss. They think because your Son died on the cross that everybody's saved. No. The only ones that are truly saved are those that have come by faith to you, trusted in you as their Savior, and was born again. So please today just speak to all of our hearts as we enjoy this wonderful study concerning the Beatitudes that are listed here. So just guide and lead us now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have enjoyed, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now we come to, "Blessed are the peacemakers." The peacemakers. The most noble work of the heirs of the kingdom of God. What a wonderful opportunity we have to be peacemakers. What a privilege to make peace between God and man. That's what I spoke of when we take the gospel out. We take the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. We take that precious word out and we share it with others. And we just pray that they listen and pray that they'll come and be born again. What a wonderful opportunity it is. In 1 Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, Christ made peace through the blood of his cross. by him to reconcile all things unto himself, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So he is our reconciler. He's the one that's going to bring things back together and put them back together. He offers it as a free gift. We need to receive it as a free gift. But we must have that and do that act of receiving it. Please, that we just receive it. It again, so often it's just a common thought that it's just, you know, everybody's saved. Everybody's okay. It's not true. Nobody's okay. Everybody's a wicked, worthless sinner. That's just as clear as I can make it. But everyone has an opportunity to accept this gift of salvation. So call upon the Lord, ask him to come into your heart and save you, and he will. So please, please, just trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Walk with him each and every day. Serve him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, the first half of it, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. But Christ is now seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. And he has, as 2 Corinthians 5, 19, the last half, committed unto us the work of reconciliation. And so he has finished and completed the work of reconciliation, but he has not finished it completely, knowing what is to come. And so it's very important that we understand that. So now we have the joy and the purpose of reconciling men to God because Christ has done his work. So now we need to do what God has called us to do. That's a great commission, to go out and take out the precious word of God. That makes us a peacemaker. Yes, we're to get along, but the only way that really brings peace is for a person to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. That's the only way. We need to know Jesus as our Savior. And so I can't stress that enough for you to trust by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Call upon him. Serve him. Walk with him. It's so important that we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look up Romans chapter 12. That'll kind of help us here a little bit too. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Romans 12, 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, so much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So you see, there's two things. Number one, to bring the gospel to a lost and dying world. That's the first thing we need to take care of. That's the reconciliation between God and man, and we are the messengers of that precious word to take it out. So please that you follow. But also, then, we are as well not to be the instigators of trouble. We should be the ones that are quiet, and we have a calmness to us. We have a peace about us, and we're able to be the peacemaker. We're able to keep things together and walk with the Lord Jesus. I do not believe that God intends for a believer to stand by and allow his fellow man to be hurt or to be murdered or to be killed. In other words, to be a peacemaker is not someone that is so meek that he will not stand in and protect and help another believer. I do not believe that God expects a nation to stand by and let the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ, another nation, any ungodly nation, destroy a godly nation. I think we're to stand up. A lot of people think we should never go to war. There are times we must go to war against our enemies, and God will go before us when we go in Christ's name. That's what's so important. And so we need to understand, and Paul said back where we read that in Romans chapter 12, as possible. And so insofar as is possible, we should live peaceably with all men. But you see, you can't live peaceably with all men because they are wicked. They're demon-possessed. And so there are some that we need to, number one, stay away from. There are ones that we need to intervene in to stop a trouble or a tribulation between the two. But there are times that we just are forced to go to war against them. And that is not against the will of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. God knows the heart. When God sent the nation of Israel into the promised land, he told them to take it. And that means that he was going to destroy all those that were in that land. Why? Because they were wicked. They had chosen to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. They were wicked people from the children all the way up to the adults. And God said, destroy them. And also we need to take care of all those idols that are in there. Destroy those. Because he wanted no evidence of those things, because he knew that that wickedness would creep into the nation of Israel. They didn't do what God said to do, and that's exactly what happened. That's what happens to us today. When we kind of dabble in the evil things of the day, when we kind of dabble with the devil and with the world, it seems that all of a sudden that we are in trouble. And we are no longer serving the Lord as we should be. And all of a sudden, what takes place is there is the power of God leaves us. As long as we serve God and follow God, the power of God goes before us. And that's true with an individual, and that's true with a nation. And we can see so many things that are going on in this country that we live in today. And it is evil things, very evil things. It is against the Word of God. And many people do not desire to follow the Word of God. They do not deserve to seek the Word, the way in the Word of God. And so what we need to do is get back on our knees and repent unto our God. Tell our God we are sorry and please that you will save us and protect us. That's what they did in Nineveh when Jonah went and preached that word. Jonah preached his word and they fell on their faces from the king all the way down. That's what needs to take place today. We need to humble ourselves and begin to walk each day. And then we will begin to see peace. We won't see all the riots and all the trouble that's going on in our country today. It is because of the absence of God, and sad to say that our government has required the absence of God. And when you have the absence of God, you're going to need more prisons. You're going to need the penalty is going to be more severe because the injury is more severe. And it's just going to continue and continue and continue. And so please understand that we are to be peacemakers. But we are to stand for our God. And we will stand for our God. And when someone stands against our God, we will stand against them. We are to be peacemakers. the way to be peacemakers is to give out the gospel. Tell people about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, it was Jehovah God was the peacemaker. We can go back to Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. Exodus chapter 34. In the sixth verse, the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and in truth. What a beautiful scripture verse. And if we enjoy the Word of God and we walk with the Word of God, we need to understand that He is long-suffering. He is abundant in goodness and truth. He is merciful, but He is just. He is just, and He will hold each one of us responsible. And if you think you don't need a Savior, you're mistaken, because you need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Jesus made peace by the blood of His cross. And we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. I love studying the Word of God. I'm looking these verses up. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. That's what makes Him the God of peace, is the precious blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, as it was shed for you and for me. What a wonderful scripture verse. Made peace by God through the cross, and that is what John chapter 3 is speaking of when it talks about being born again. We need the new birth. When one is reconciled to God, born of His Spirit, indwelt by divine nature, he has peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It starts there. We cannot be a peacemaker until we make peace with God. And the only way we can do that is to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. We must come by faith to Jesus. Our life should cause the ones around us to desire to have that peace that we possess. John chapter 13, verse 35. John 13, 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. John 13, 35. A peacemaker. Back to Matthew here. A peacemaker. Love when it's difficult to love. Be quiet while others speak. Be a good listener. That's something we're not very good at. We like to give our opinion, and we're not listening as they're talking. And if you really want to help, we need to listen. Speak kindly when we are tempted to speak harsh words. A peacemaker should desire with all of his heart to bring salvation to the lost. 1 Corinthians 14:33 tells us God is not the author of confusion. He is the author of peace and of joy. Having these abilities, we are able to be called the children of God. peacemakers. So it starts with salvation. Don't miss that. Don't try to bypass that. You say, you know, our church doesn't preach and doesn't teach that you need to be born again. It doesn't explain that there's a time in your life when the Spirit of God convicts your heart and you recognize that you're truly a sinner. Down deep in your heart and in your mind, you see that you're a sinner. And you don't have an answer for it at all. But the answer is there. And the answer will be presented to you by the Spirit. And the answer is Jesus. Because he died on the cross. And he will set you free from those sins. And so it starts there. And then you will begin to love those that are difficult to love. You'll be able to be a good listener. You'll be able to control yourself when people are speaking harsh words to you. And you'll be able and desire to bring salvation to the lost. What wonderful opportunities we have. As we continue now into Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God, is verse 9, verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Hebrews chapter 11 gives us quite a list. I don't know if we're going to get through it before we run out of time, but we're going to give it a try. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And there's quite a list of ones that are victors. They have the great victory of faith, in faith. And that list is Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and others. Then we come down and we come to the 35th verse. And we find that there are also those that have suffered for their faith, as we find, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, verse 10 tells us, back in Matthew chapter 5. Reading now, beginning with verse 35 of Hebrews chapter 11. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. What a precious list there of those that had faced the challenges of this, the 10th verse, back in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Those that we just listed back in the book of Hebrews were those that were persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. What a joy to read those. They suffered great persecution, yet did not turn their back, but looked forward to that glorious day when they would see their God. That's what they did. Why does the world hate God and his children? It's the Gospel of John, John chapter 3, verse 20. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, John chapter 3, the 20th verse. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You want to know why they hate the Christians, why they hate light, why this country and so many of the people that live in it desire to get everything in the presence of God? Because the light shines upon them and they hate it. They despise it. And they'll do anything to rid themselves of it. And they have been very successful to their own damnation. John chapter 15, verse 19. John 15, 19. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Yes, the world hates you. We have a problem here as our Lord and Savior is teaching, and as he is teaching the Jews, he wants them to listen and to pay attention. The nation of Israel at this time that our Lord is upon the earth have become very materialistic, very proud. Instead of taking the gospel out to the Gentiles, they decide to hoard it themselves. They thought that all they needed was power and wealth to stay safe, to keep the enemy away. They thought that's all they needed. The rich, the powerful, the proud will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And that's what Israel had become at that time. Now that's God's chosen people. He loves them. And he's going to call them, make a calling back of them here in a very short period of time, because I think we're very close to the tribulation to come. When the tribulation comes, when that call comes, the church will be raptured. We'll go. We'll leave. Anyone that's born again will leave, Jew and Gentile alike. But those that have refused the gospel, or those that are of Israel, there'll be a regathering, and they'll all return back to Jerusalem. They'll begin to rebuild the temple. The mosque that's on the Temple Mount will be moved, and they'll begin to build the temple. And there'll be literally millions of Jews saved during that time. But they will live in a most horrible time, because they have rejected the gospel. The poor in spirit, the meek, the peacemakers, the persecuted, they're the ones that will gain the blessing, not the wealthy, not the proud. The Bible makes it very clear that the possession of riches or of stuff in themselves does not bring happiness, does not bring peace, does not bring joy. And you've probably already recognized that, but you don't know what to do about it. In Luke chapter 16, verses 19-31, we're told of a rich man and a beggar. Now that's a beautiful story, and we're going to start there the next time we get together. Because as so often, we find ourselves out of time. But I don't even want to turn to that, but that is exactly where we will start the next time we get together. Because it is a wonderful place, it's a wonderful story to show what happens to those folks when they think that they have everything they need. Well, the Lord will call you home. And it's not going to be to the home you want. It's going to be to the lake of fire, the place of torment. I don't want you to go there. I want you to trust in Jesus. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?